All right, let's go to John chapter number 8. That's where we'll begin tonight, John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, if you'll find verse number 31, the Gospel of John chapter number 8, and we'll look at verse number 31. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. John chapter number 8 and verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I look over verse 42, if you will. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me?" Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use, dear Lord, the study tonight to create within the hearts of your people, dear God, a very strong conviction about something that's going on in our country, Lord, that we would develop a Bible conviction, Lord, against this atrocity that's happening in our country and around the world. Lord, that we wouldn't vacillate, we wouldn't compromise about it. Lord, that we would stand true, and that we would, Lord, be emboldened because of the information we're given tonight, we'll be emboldened to speak the truth when it comes to the subject of abortion. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much for standing. You may be seated. We want to have a Bible view of everything in life, a Bible view of everything in life. And years ago, we'll get into the background of it a little bit, but years ago, our nation was convinced because of some lies that were told that we should get into the baby-killing business here in the United States of America. By the way, national abortion statistics are horrific. 3,500 babies on average are aborted every single day in the United States of America. That is one baby every 25 seconds. We're now well over, and I think that this is a lowball figure, over 65 million babies have died in their mother's womb since Roe versus Wade. Now think about that, Roe versus Wade, 125,000 babies per day are aborted worldwide. So 3,500 babies are aborted every day in the United States. 125,000 babies per day are aborted worldwide. This is 15 babies every 10 seconds. Globally, abortion will kill in the next 15 days more than COVID did in all of 2020. And think about that. We were willing to shut down a nation to try to prevent the deaths from COVID, but in the next 15 days, more children will be killed in the next 15 days than in all of 2020. In 2020, over 45 million babies were killed while still in their mother's womb or during the delivery of the baby around the world. When I say that, there are such things as partial birth abortions. So it's not just being killed in their mother's womb or sometimes as the baby is being delivered. Some of those were murdered shortly after they were born. Listen, folks, there are tears in the presence of God over every unborn baby destroyed, and I believe celebration in the presence of Satan over every unborn child destroyed before he has a chance to be born. God's people mourn while the devil's children smugly applaud this atrocity. However, let me just say this, folks, there are good people who would identify themselves as pro-choice. And that makes me scratch my head a little bit, but I'm going to tell you why. When it comes to abortion, they would say, "Well, I'm pro-choice." And people have been led, you say, how do good people, folks, for the most part, moral people, buy into this? I would say this, people have been led to believe that abortion in some instances is the compassionate thing to do. Think about that. Maybe unfortunate, but still the right thing to do. Now, they believe this. Please listen to what I'm going to say next. They believe this because they've been deceived. They believe that this because they have believed lies. They have believed lies. You see, the devil has used left-wing politicians, celebrities, and stars. Come on, the ever-willing anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ news media to propagate the devil's lies when it comes to the subject of abortion. The abortion issue, though, folks, when it boils right down to it, is a battle between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who is not only a liar, but the father of all lies, and also a murderer. Isn't that interesting? When we read chapter number 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so in order to get good people, and in order to get moral people for the most part, to buy into something like this, then the devil had to propagate some lies. And these lies have been repeated over and over and over and over. And the old adage is, if you repeat a lie often enough, pretty soon people will accept it as truth. And that's exactly what's happened in the United States of America. I believe there's five lies that have paved the way to murder. I believe there's five lies that have convinced the majority of people in the United States of America that that abortion, at least in some instances, is okay or right. I want to present those lies to you tonight. And then we're going to take the word of God, because folks, I know this is the truth. Amen. I'm going to take the word of God and answer those lies. And also, I will take some statistics and answer those lies. I will take some common sense and expose those lies. But folks, we have to start speaking up in the pulpits of America. You see, there's a lot of young people here, and they need to grow up with a Bible conviction against abortion. And the reason a lot of people don't have a Bible conviction, I'm talking about church-going people, have the wrong view of this, is because they don't have a preacher that will stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, let's look at the Bible, let's give a Bible answer to these lies, and let's develop a biblical conviction when it comes to this matter of abortion. Bible answers for the five lies that paved the way for murder. Let me present these lies to you. Number one, lie number one, an unborn baby is not a human being, it's not a person. An unborn baby is not a human being, is not a person. Now the Bible exposes this as a lie. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so the Lord said this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about that. You'll find the word conceived in the Bible 40 times. The Bible definition of this word, if you look it up, means this, to be with child. And so the minute they use the word conceived, God's opinion is at that moment, that woman is with child, is with child. So they're not a blob. They're not a blob of cells. They're not a fetus. They are a person from the moment they are conceived in the eyes of Almighty God. I believe it is God's hand, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, that forms each and every child, each and every baby. And so a form of the same Bible word is translated with child 25 times. So conceived over 40 times. Definition of the word is this, to be with child. a form of the same Bible word translated with child 25 times. So 65 times total in the Bible, God proclaims that a mother is carrying a child from the moment of conception, from that point on, all through her pregnancy. Not only that, folks, God is active in the formation of a baby in his mother's womb. He is creating that child for a purpose. He is creating that child and has already sanctified or set aside that child to accomplish some things. He has ordained that child for some specific things that God created him to do. And then you think about that. I think abortion's horrible for a lot of reasons, but you think about when a mother kills a baby in her womb, she literally is taking that child out of the hands of Almighty God, who is forming that child for specific purposes. So the Bible exposes this as a lie. An unborn baby is not a human being. The Bible says, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But you know what? Medical science also exposes this as a lie. The heart is beating within 14 to 18 days after conception. Brain waves are measurable as early as 6 weeks after fertilization. Most abortions are done at or after 9 weeks. The RU486 chemical abortions cannot be done till after 6 weeks. So an abortion stops a beating heart and destroys an active mind. And so lie number one, an unborn baby is not a human being or a person. Folks, that is the lie. That is a lie. And the Bible exposes it as a lie. And medical science exposes it as a lie. Lie number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. And one of the things that you'll see often in those that are pro-choice is, you know what, it's my body, it's my business. Well, okay, it's your body. But when you go to an abortion clinic, you walk out with your body still alive. And you've taken the life of another body. And so that doesn't even make logical sense. It's an emotional thing that is said to create an emotional reaction, but it's not even logical. Think about this. Where did the woman get this thinking? It's my right if I choose to kill my baby. This thinking is the result of the loss of natural affection in these last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. In the last days, it was going to be predicted that there would be a loss of natural affection. Natural affection means the affection of family, the affection of a parent towards their children. And so this has been predicted. You know, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to believe. While I was pastoring in Brazil, Indiana, we had a news story come out in the local paper, an event that happened right in our community, just outside of Brazil, Indiana. There's a little community called Knightsville. It has a little public park there. It still had an old-fashioned, come on, this has been a few years ago, old-fashioned toilet facilities. We would call it an outhouse, was still there on the park property. A lady was doing her exercise early one morning in that park, and as she passed the outhouse, she thought that she heard a noise that sounded like a child or maybe an animal. She wasn't sure. And somebody had gone into that outhouse, birthed a baby, and then threw it down into the outhouse toilet. And this lady called the authorities. They rescued that child. Now, folks, stop and just let that sink in a minute. That's where America's gotten to. That's where some women have gotten to. Where, you know, you think about natural affection. What is that? That is the God-given love that a mother has for her child. And you know what? Most mothers throughout the history of the world would die for their children. And now we've lost natural affection, and now we have mothers and fathers in on it too, making the decision to kill their children. What has happened? So every woman has a right I have a right. I have a right to end the life of my unborn baby. Well, here's my question. Where is your natural affection? What has happened in your mind and your heart to get you to the point where you would even think about doing something like that? So this thinking is a result of the loss of natural affection. This thinking is the result of extreme selfishness. Folks, think about this. I just read this note also, that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They have polled women that have had abortions, and they asked them, what was the main reason that you had an abortion? Here it is, unready for the responsibility. I just didn't feel like I was up to the responsibility, and so I opted to kill my baby instead of having to deal with that responsibility. I felt like it would affect us too much financially. I felt like the baby would change my lifestyle too much. I believe the baby was going to affect my relationship with the man that I was with. And so I was afraid that baby would ruin that relationship. I don't feel like I'm mature enough to handle it. Well, then you shouldn't be mature enough to be doing the thing that produces the baby, okay? Think about that. Some are even so selfish that they are using abortion and stated this as the reason, used an abortion to select the gender of a baby. You know what? Somebody posted just not that long ago on Facebook, tomorrow I will find out if I'm having a girl or an abortion. So we're going to try to have a baby, and if it's not the gender we want, we'll just kill the baby, and then we'll try it again to have another baby. How did we get here? I mean, to post that on Facebook, on your Facebook page, tomorrow I'll find out if I'm having a girl or an abortion. I already have enough children, or then there was 5% that gave other reasons. Now you think about that. Not ready for the responsibility, can't afford it, might change my life, might affect my relationship. I don't think I'm old enough to handle it. I'm not sure it's going to be the gender we want. You know, all I hear is selfishness, selfishness, selfishness. Life's all about me. And I don't want anything coming into my life, including a child. Folks, children are a blessing. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward, His reward. And yet we have a thinking that has become so unbiblical and so unnatural and so extremely selfish that people literally believe that children should be thrown away like pieces of garbage if it's going to affect their life in any negative manner. This thinking, I have a right to choose to abort my baby because it's my body. This result of this thinking is a result of the desire to have, let me just say this, in many instances, sin without consequence. They just want sin without consequence. And so the place to take care of sin, folks, is not at the abortion clinic. The place to take care of sin is at the throne of grace, amen? And by the way, abortion does not erase the consequences of your sin. It increases the consequences of your sin. You say, well, I don't have to deal with a child. No, but for the rest of your life, you're going to deal with the guilt of taking the life of that child. You know, I want to interject something here. I think it's important. If you study the abortion statistics, break them down racially. Are we allowed to talk about race anymore? Racially. And I think that our dear, sweet brothers and sisters that are of the black race, I think they ought to listen to this. I'm talking about abortions performed per capita according to the population numbers of each race. The highest percentage of abortions are happening amongst our black population. Now think about it. That's 42%, by the way, is happening amongst our black population of all abortions. That's three times as high as abortions amongst whites. You know what I kept thinking during the whole Black Lives Matter nonsense that swept the country? If black lives really matter, then stop killing your babies. I said, if black lives matter, stop killing your babies. Okay? The political party that that most blacks are so loyal to, and I think that's changing and shifting, by the way, is the same political party that's urging you to kill your babies. It's time to get woke about this. Think about that. So number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. They'll say it's my body. But folks, again, that does not even logically make sense. It's not your body that's being destroyed. It's not your life that's being ended. It's the life of your child. Number three, it is better to abort a baby than to see it born. And by the way, I've read this several different places. I'm going to read it specifically as they write it. Their lie is this: it's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Now, people will rattle that off, and then folks won't know what to say, and they'll kind of go like, well, I guess. Well, what? Stop. You know, one of the things you can do to destroy lives is to slow the lie down. I think they like to speed talk it, and then they just bulldoze on, and I like to say, wait, stop. Let's just talk about what you just said. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Now, just let that, come on, are you thinking with me? Unwanted, by the way, no baby in this world needs to be born unwanted. What we need to do is we need to change the laws on the books. We need to make it so it's not so difficult for people that want to adopt babies to be able to adopt babies. Talk to people who have literally waited over a decade trying to go through the process of adopting a baby in the United States of America, to the point where they get so frustrated that they then go internationally. They'll fly halfway around the world where the laws aren't so restricted to be able to abort a baby. So there's no baby that needs to be killed because it's unwanted. You know, folks, I recently got a letter from a couple that I think it was in Wyoming. I have to go back and look. I've kept the letter in case I know of a situation. But I mean, a beautifully written letter with a picture of a young couple. And it was sent out by their pastor to several pastors. And here's a family in our church, and they have not been able to have children, and they would love to adopt a child. And so, preachers, if you happen to come across a situation in your church where somebody does not want the responsibility of a baby, and they're going to give it away, or they're thinking about aborting it, would you tell them about this family? Would you tell them about this situation? Don't tell me that any child in America has to be born unwanted. Unwanted. So that's ridiculous, okay? Adoption is an option. And okay. And then number two, I like this. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born poor. I mean, you know, unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. And then they kind of just throw poor in there. Well, let me just ask you a question. What's wrong with being born poor? I see more messed up kids coming out of millionaire homes than I do out of poor homes. Come on, think about it. I mean, let's go look at the Hollywood brats and see how they're doing. I don't think being born in a poor home is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think that kid may one of these days grow up and have an appreciation for everything he receives in life. Okay, I'm glad we didn't have everything. I'm glad, I guess maybe, I don't know, Bob, if we were born poor or not. If we were, we were so busy we didn't notice. I mean, there was always food on the table. You know, there was always a roof over our head. Mom and Dad scratched enough money so that, you know, once a year, right before school started, we went and got a new pair of tennis shoes. We thought we were living pretty high, amen? Some new clothes. And so, you know what, every once in a while, you know what? We'd go to Dairy Queen, maybe every couple months, you know, and that was pretty cool, you know? I mean, and, you know, folks, listen, the problem with children nowadays is not that they're poor. The problem with our children is they got too much. I'll say that of all of us, okay? You know, and so poor. So here's it is. Do we end poverty? The solution for ending poverty is killing poor children? That don't even make sense, does it? Again, folks, stop and slow it down. Don't be afraid when somebody says something that's blatantly false to just stop and say, whoa, Let's just replay what you just said. And you know what? They don't want to replay it. They just want to say it and say it with great emotion and anger and expect you to just say, well, okay, you know. These are lies. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor. Well, wait a minute, preacher. What about this last one? Or into a potentially, I like that, potentially abusive situation. So any child that might be potentially born into what could be a potential abusive situation, the best way to prevent that abuse is to kill them. Now, this is the way the devil's lies are, if we would just shine the bright light of the truth on them. And by the way, isn't abortion the ultimate child abuse? Okay, so, all right, so now we've got lie number three. How about lie number four? This is what they'll say. Abortion should be legal because, here it is again, women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. Okay, all right. And I won't get too deep into this because I think you know, understand the reason why, but I can remember that those who were protesting in the streets for abortion was holding up coat hangers, okay, enough said. And their whole premise behind that was, we have to legalize this. We have to regulate it because there are women that are dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in these back alley non-regulated facilities. Now, again, facts are a stubborn thing, okay? Before 1973, listen to what I'm going to say. It was illegal to kill an unborn baby in the United States of America. Before 1973, it was illegal to kill an unborn baby in the United States of America. You know why? Because murder should be illegal. So it was illegal to do it. And yet there's some that wanted so badly to still do it that they went to unregulated back alley facilities and decided that they were going to in the life of their baby. Oh, well, preacher, there must have been thousands and thousands and thousands of women dying in these back alley, non-regulated facilities, all right? So 1973, it was illegal before 1973. In 1972, listen to me, 39 women died from illegal abortions in America. 1972, are you looking here? 1972, 39 women died from illegal abortions in America. And so to prevent the deaths of 39 women, we're going to kill 3,500 babies every single day, one every 25 seconds, 65 million since Roe versus Wade, because of these poor women that are dying in unregulated facilities. Say, preacher, you sound kind of hard-hearted about this. Listen to me. I'm going to, again, let's use logic, okay? Think about this. Folks, these 39 women died because they were involved in a criminal activity. A criminal activity. Before 1973, it was a crime to kill an unborn baby. So they were involved in a criminal activity. And while they were involved in a criminal activity, come on, that involved the death of someone else, they died. Now, let me give you a comparison to this. Because again, folks, it's amazing how the devil just, oh, my goodness sakes, let's hold up coat hangers and let's talk about these poor women that are dying. And everybody, oh, my goodness, we got to do something about these poor women that are dying. Poor women. Poor women. Now, think about this. If there was a person that, you know, decided they were going to rob a bank, and so they took a gun and they walked into the bank and they said, give me all your money. And they point the gun at the teller and she gives them all the money and they shoot the teller and they run out the door with the money, having just killed the teller, and there's police officers outside, and he points the gun at the police officers, and they kill him. All right. Come on. Now think about that. He died come on, committing a crime that involved the murder of someone else. Can you imagine if the next day, come on, bleeding heart liberals got up and said, listen, there's bank robbers and they're dying all over the United States of America. There were over 39 bank robbers that died last year. So what we've got to do is we've got to pass a law that makes bank robbery legal in the United States of America. You know why? Because bank robbers are dying while they are killing bank tellers and stealing money. You say, preacher, that's not comparing apples to apples. 100% it's comparing apples to apples. Now think about this. These are the lies that are said. Abortion should be legal because women are dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. Well, who's committing these crimes? Who's involved in this criminal activity? It's a mother or other relatives seeking an illegal abortion. And by the way, the doctor or the abortionist performing the illegal abortion, both the mothers and the doctors before 1973 were committing a criminal act. But let's change something that's criminal into something that's legal. And by the way, if you think about it, folks, come on, I don't want to get too much into it, but look around you. It's still being done. The people that are breaking the law are always, by the liberal media, they are always presented as victims. These poor migrants, they're not migrants. They're illegal aliens who committed a criminal act and broke the law to come to the United States of America. And I think starting tomorrow, something's going to be done about it. Amen. Finally. But think about that. If we're not careful, this poor victim's mentality is being used to get us to accept things that God does not accept. To feel sorry for people that are doing things that God says is an abomination before. And you go ahead and list the sins of the day, and they're all using the same method of making us seem harsh and mean and uncompassionate because we're not against these things. And yet, folks, listen to me. The sad part about this is that America fell for this lie. We were told the way to stop back alley casualties was to decriminalize the activity. We should have never decriminalized the killing of unborn babies. Every one of those mothers had other options. Instead, they chose to break the law and sought an opportunity to destroy their unborn child. And some in doing so destroyed their own life. One of the arguments that both the world and some Christians have used to silence those of us who wish to draw attention to this national sin is this. Now, preacher, you should never preach a message like this behind your pulpit because you might make someone who has had an abortion feel bad. And folks, that's not the goal here. I don't have to make them feel bad. I promise you, if they have a soul, if they have a conscience, they already feel bad about it. But can I say this? Someone's hurt feelings today, think about that, has been elevated above the truth. We can't speak truth because we might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Okay, so somebody's hurt feelings are more important than drawing attention to 125,000 babies around the world that will be aborted today. Somebody's hurt feelings or 125,000 unborn babies dying, what's more important? Excuse me, you'll just have to get your feelings hurt, I guess. But the thing about it is, you know what? You can get forgiveness. You can get cleansing. You can get that right before the Lord like any other sin. You can do it. But folks, listen to me. Young preachers, don't tiptoe around this. If you're going to pastor one of these days, then be willing to stand up and teach what the Bible has to say about it. Speak the truth. Amen. Speak the truth. Number five, lie number five, abortion should be an option for those. Now listen, I want you all to kind of take a breath. You can take a real deep breath now, okay? Abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases that the woman's life is endangered, or in case of rape or incest. Now, some of you are going to listen to that list right there. And by the way, let's slow it down again. Let's talk about what was just said there, okay? Because it says, what if the baby is potentially disabled or deformed or sick? What if the woman's life is in danger? What about in cases of rape or incest? We're kind of putting all those together, so let's talk about them. Think about this. So if a child is potentially disabled or deformed or handicapped, it's better to kill that child? Who formed them in their mother's womb?
Right. Yeah.
Folks, God formed Anthony in his mother's womb. Anthony is a blessing to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and a blessing to his family. Okay, God formed JK in his mother's womb. Okay, my wife had a younger brother that was born mentally and physically handicapped, never walked a step one day of his life, never said a word, lived to be 28 years of age, and absolutely was the star of that family. And I think that the reason that my wife has a level of compassion for people that honestly I can't match is because of the gift that was given into that family. Amen. And so folks, listen to me. Special needs children are a blessing to enjoy, not a reason to kill somebody.
Right.
Think about that. Amen. You say, well, what about women whose life is in danger? Women facing what they would call high-risk pregnancies. By the way, women facing high-risk pregnancies should receive optimum care and take every precaution. And we've had ladies in our church that have had high risk pregnancies. You know what, folks? She should also trust the Lord to care for both herself and her baby. And you know, I understand if you go back in time before a lot of the medical advances that we have today, if you go to older cemeteries, it's not that unusual to see a lot of young children or babies, newborn babies, buried in the cemetery. Now, folks, I'm not going to be so naive to say that it never happens, because it does from time to time. And sometimes the life of the mother is lost. But, folks, nowadays, that is a rare situation.
Yes.
Now, you know what? I know that this might be something we'd have to wrestle with or grapple with. I love my wife. My goodness sakes. I don't want to see her life ended. But folks, listen to me. Would it be right for us to kill a child just because potentially it could be a high-risk situation for her? And by the way, let's go back again and talk about natural affection. Used to be a day in this country that a woman would die to deliver that child. If it was a choice between her life and the child's life, she would choose the child's life. And again, have we just now become so selfish that nothing's more important than me? Is there anything worth dying for anymore? There should be. There should be. And so that takes care of the disabled or what we call handicapped situations. You know, if a woman's life is in danger, then let's make sure, you know, that she receives optimum care and take every precaution. But, you know, where do we just trust the Lord to take care of her and the baby? A mother's heart is a heart that protects her child at any cost, not kill her child because it may be a potential risk to herself. Now let's get to the last one, because, oh, preacher, now what about in this cases of rape or incest? I want to say a couple things about that, okay? Sexual assault is a horrible crime. I believe, my personal opinion, I believe it ought to be a death penalty crime in the United States of America. I mean that with all of my heart. I think there's a couple of things that just ought to be no-brainers, just death penalty. If you sexually assault a child, I think, you know what? I mean, I just feel like saying, let's just go throw a rope over a lamppost down at the county courthouse and let's just do an old-fashioned lynching and let everybody watch him kick in the air and maybe they'll think about touching another child in the United States. Preacher, that's not Christian. No, it is Christian. Jesus Christ said, if you cause one of these to stumble, if you cause one of these to be offended, better for you to be taken out. Come on, a millstone put around your neck and cast into the sea. Now think about that. That means Jesus was for and still is for millstone justice. So that means a heavy millstone, a short rope, a boat. Okay, if you can't find a volunteer, I'll take them out there. I'll do it and I'll come home and sleep that night. You say you're hard. We need hard men. It's a promise. We're all too soft. Okay, so that is the Christian view. That's the Christian view. Okay, that's what Jesus said about it. So sexual assault is a horrible crime. By the way, the perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. And again, I don't think that full extent goes far enough. The victim of that crime, please listen to me, is just that, a victim. And can I say this, folks? I won't go very far down this road, but me and my wife through the years have sat down and helped a lot of young ladies and a lot of ladies that are more older, but they had this in their past and they were still dealing with the bitterness. I mean, we have gone down that path many times, and one of the things that drives me crazy about this crime is this. The perpetrator, most of the time, feels no guilt, and yet the victim will feel guilty. And one of the most important things when you're dealing with people and trying to help them is literally getting them to look you right here and say, listen to me, you were a victim. You were a victim. Okay, because the victim feels guilty. And the one who does it doesn't even feel guilt. It's crazy. It's upside down. But a lot of times, that's the way it is. Now, think about this. So, the victim of that crime is just that, a victim. Now, for me to then sit across from the victim of this crime, and she's a victim, and encourage her to victimize the child she carries, will not lessen the trauma. It's going to compound the trauma in her life. Okay? You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time with this. Well, hang on. Do we believe in the sanctity of life or don't we? Do we believe Romans 8:28? Doesn't say all things are good. Folks, a lot of situations that we have to deal with in life, sin complicates things. There's a lot of bad things that happen in this world, but the Bible doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good to them that love God. And think about that. So I'm going to encourage this woman to victimize and murder a child in hopes that that will lessen her trauma. A woman that chooses to do so now has to deal with the emotional ramifications of the initial assault, as well as the lifelong guilt she'll endure by destroying the life of a child. Again, these are hard things, aren't they? Preacher, I don't even know if I can get there yet. Okay, then that's fine. Listen to me, I'm not picking on, I mean it, it's fine. Take some time. But take the emotion out of it at some point and think about biblically. By the way, you can get online and you can hear a lot of these testimonies. You know, there's a lot of stupid on YouTube, but there's also some incredible testimonies of the children that were produced by these type of situations that now Jesus Christ has come into their life and God is using them in an astounding way. And you know what they say? I'm so thankful that my mom, even though she went through something horrific, did not take my life and allowed me to be born and realized that God had a purpose for me. And so, folks, I know this is hard. And you know what? It's easy to kind of have an opinion about it until it could be in your family. I get all of that. But again, that's why we base our convictions on Bible principles, not on emotions or circumstances. So take some time and think about that. Say, preacher, just really, how serious is this this sin of abortion? How does the Bible have some things to say about it? Just want you to listen. We'll take just a few minutes here. The Bible has a very strong opinion about this and addresses this sin. First of all, Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child. We know this is a prophecy concerning the Messiah being born. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what Herod the king did? That was in fulfillment of what was written here in Revelation chapter number 12. Who was behind what Herod did? Who put it in Herod's heart to go to a segment of an area around Bethlehem and kill every single child 2 years of age and under? Folks, nobody can pull off something like that without us saying the devil was involved in it. That was an act of Satan, because we know it was an act of Satan. Revelation 12 attributes it to him. Pharaoh and the killing of the Israeli children. Remember that when he called in the midwives? And he said, now if it's a girl, you let her be born. But if it's a boy, I want you to take him down, throw him in the Nile River. Folks, listen to me. Pharaoh did not worship the Lord God of heaven. Pharaoh worshiped false gods that were representations of the devil or demonic beings. How about Molech causing the children to pass through the fire? What does that mean? That means they were offering their children as burnt sacrifices. You can't go anywhere in the Bible where they're killing children and not see a direct connection to the devil, to Satan himself being behind it. So Satan is the driving force. He's the one behind this. Number two, shedding of innocent blood is an abomination before God. Proverbs chapter 6, yea, these 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Boy, every single doctor and every single nurse that works in these clinics ought to listen to that, ought to understand that. It's an abomination to be involved in something like that. Number three, innocent blood cries out for God, to God for justice. We could read this back in the story of Cain and Abel. And so Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass, they were in the field. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, why, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now think about that. So God, all the way up in heaven, heard Abel's blood, the innocent blood that was shed, crying out to God for vengeance, crying out to God for justice. Now, folks, I want you to imagine that multiplied. Think about that. 65 million plus, and I think, honestly, I mean, I've gotten into this pretty deeply. I believe it's well over in the United States, over 80 million babies. A lot of it that was done has not been recorded, not been properly reported. I think we're well safe to say 80 million. Can you imagine the God of heaven? Now, think about how merciful God's been to America. When I say, folks, you know what? Whatever God does in America from this point forward, whatever judgment he sends, we can't say a word except we deserve it. You don't hear it, and I don't hear it, but God hears it. Every minute, and by the way, God never sleeps. Every minute, every moment of every day, 80 million, the blood of 80 million unborn babies, the blood of the innocents are crying out to God. How long? How long? How long, God? How long? Think about that. Number four, abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. We can justify the death of the unborn. We start down a road that leads us to rationalizing the shedding of any and all innocent blood. Well, think about that. More and more, you guys know this. You know, they want to eliminate babies from being born, and then they want to decide at what point in life people are worth having. If they're productive, fine. If they're not productive, then they're just taking money. I've got strong opinions, I mean this, about the way we handled COVID. and the financial decisions that were tied to the way we handled COVID, you know, who were the victims for the most part? It was the elderly. Those were the ones that were the most victims. Excuse me, I'm just going to say it. For every single one that was receiving a Social Security check, and by the way, thousands and thousands and thousands that died because of the mishandling of COVID by people that now we're finding out knew what the truth was. But why didn't the government do more about it? Love of money is the root of all evil. Every person over 65, 67, I don't know, they keep moving the, you know, that died. That's one less check we got to send out. Think about that. I want to get started on Social Security. Don't get me started on that. Didn't used to care about it. Now I'm 63. I'm starting to think a little bit about it, you know. Think about that. But it desensitized the nation towards the value of all human life. Come on. How many of you guys, come on, how many of you guys, when you were in high school, you know, went to school, public school, in a pickup truck, with a gun rack across the back window, and a rifle or a shotgun in your vehicle? Maybe it wasn't a truck, but you had a rifle or shotgun in your vehicle. All right, there you go. There you go. Man, I got some of a... Did Max raise his hand? What's that? Yeah, yeah. I would have liked to have seen that. Hey, why didn't... Come on. Out at Shackamack High School, you know, about once a week, there'd be two guys that just got on each other's nerves to the point where they were going to meet out in the parking lot and settle it, you know. Right. Well, it never happened at Duggar, but I mean, it, you know, at Shackamack, a bunch of heathens, you know. And you know what? They'd go out there and they'd straighten things out. You know, they'd settle whatever. Not one time did one of them walk over to the truck and open the door and pull a gun out and shoot the other guy. Well, you say, preacher, I don't understand. What's happening in America? Better listen to me. What's happening in America? What is possessing children and teenagers from, you know what, getting guns and going into the school and shooting other children? Well, folks, first of all, we've had now over 50 years where we're actively teaching children that they're not even human, that they're just animals. And they're just, they may be the most advanced form of an animal, but they're just animals. And you can't for 50 years tell people they're animals and then be shocked when they act like animals, you know. But I think a lot of it goes back to the desensitizing of the value of human life. And if we can kill a bunch of unborn babies, if you're on getting on my nerves, why shouldn't I just kill you? You know, think about that. The value of a human life. For what shall it profit? What shall a man be profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about this. The political party in our nation that so viciously and aggressively defend and demand the right to kill innocent children before they can be born into this world. Do not be fooled into believing that there is not a faction of that party that would not blink at the idea of committing some form of human genocide to secure power and advance their devilish agenda.
Yes, sir.
You better remember what I just said.
Yes, sir.
I read one book every year on the subject of the Holocaust because I think there ought to be some things we don't forget. And folks, we've got some people in political positions, United States of America, that I believe are more evil than Hitler. And that's not an understatement. If they were not bound and prevented, and they had full power and reign, I think you would see the same type of level of atrocities. Think about that. Let me give you the last one. God will eventually bring judgment upon a nation that allows the shedding of innocent blood. Why was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, allowed to come in and take Judah and put them in bondage? The reasons given here. It says, surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. That's his chosen people. And he took a nation, come on, like China or Russia. It just happened to be Babylon. And he allowed them to destroy a nation who was filling their cities with the blood of the innocent. The Lord would not pardon it. In Psalms 106, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hands of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. What do we do, preacher, about this? Well, pray. Let's continue to pray to end abortion. I think every single election, we should vote to end abortion. I think we need to get better busy in Operation Occupation. Let's evangelize our nation. The best way to do away with the sins of a nation is to get the people of that nation to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to be born again. And let's, when we have an opportunity, educate our nation. Now, preacher, it's okay for you to preach this from the pulpit. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people that won't. I think that sermon like this every January near, you know, the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, I think every single person, man that claims to be a man of God ought to get up and say something about this sin. But wait a minute, it's not just me that ought to say it from the pulpit. Every single one of us used to need our circle of influence. And you know, when you hear these lies, preacher, I never knew what to say or how to answer some of this. Well, you know now. And when you hear these lies, don't be afraid to speak the truth.